This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Brett and Sasha here today. Hope you're doing well out there. You know, Sasha, did you get caught at all yesterday driving in the snow? Did you have any problems there?
Maybe not to yesterday, but today I did.
Did you didn't get any accidents or anything, did you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. There's always that moment where you kind of have to, oh, that's right, I got to drive this way now. It's like walking down, because I had to go down and shovel the driveway, and I got a little bit of a tilt on my driveway, so I had to go down to the bottom because the plow came through last night, and of course it was pretty icy. I'm like, oh, that's right, I got to learn how to re-walk on this, where you lift your foot like a millimeter and move it, so in case you have to slam it down really quick to prevent yourself from doing one of those Three Stooges falls.
For me, it's I had to remember how to get all the snow off my car and all the little nuances there.
Were you iced in at all on your car? We had one car outside, and it was a mess.
Yeah, it's not great.
You have to clear off your car. That's the law, folks. You got to do that, so make sure you please do. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Stein, like I said, coming up here in just a little bit. Happy Veterans Day to you. I hope if you're a veteran, thank you very much. I appreciate your service. You're a family member of a veteran. Thank you very much for your sacrifice and your service as well. I'm going to say this again because it needs to be said. You're not losers. You're not suckers. The President of the United States called you guys, and me, I'm a veteran too, losers and suckers. And in any other presidential term, that would have been the end of that president. And there's a lot of Republicans who are claiming to love the troops today who have not said one word in condemnation of the President of the United States calling the troops losers and suckers. Not one. And I have no problem. Some people have accused me of being political today because I have reminding veterans you're not losers and you're not suckers. Like, why do you have to turn Veterans Day political? I don't know. Why did Trump do it? I'm just trying to correct his wrong. And of course you get the Republicans who will say, well, I'm just as disappointed too. Oh, okay. Show me one of your social media posts. Because, you know, I got 5,000 Sleepy Joe social media posts from you. Show me the one social media post you made on Facebook, Twitter, where, Insta, wherever. Show me the one you made that condemns Donald Trump for calling the troops losers and suckers. Well, I mean, I'm offended by it, but I think that's a personal thing. Oh, I see. You're so outraged by it, you're terrified of letting anyone know that you're outraged by it. I see. No, it is disturbing beyond disturbing. And by the way, if you have not paid attention to the Trump coup attempt here, part of the argument that they're trying to make in Pennsylvania and Nevada specifically is that the military ballots should be thrown out. That's right. Their idea of supporting the troops, and basically that's their entire point too. It's just, oh, it's a military ballot. We can't trust those. Throw those out. That's it. There's no nuance to it. Military ballot, those shouldn't be counted. Don't let them tell you they support the troops. I don't know of, and I'm dead serious, and I understand there are veterans who are Republicans. I understand that. I don't know one damn Republican politician who actually cares for the freaking troops. I don't. You use them as a photo op. You love when you get over to the American Legion or the VFW, and you go out there on the Veterans Day, and you get to pose with them, and you get to put that all over your web pages and your social media pages, and act like, here I am, supporting the brave men and women. Okay, well, why don't you pass some bills to pass it? Well, I support them, but I'm not going to spend taxpayer dollars on them. Come on, stupid. Nope, the Republicans only look at the troops as a campaign prop. That is it. There's a reason I have been a huge fan of Governor Tim Walz, and I am a huge fan of Governor Tim Walz. Not only do I appreciate his leadership that we are having right now in this time of crisis, but long ago when he was a congressman and I interviewed him a few times, we talked about veterans issues. Because if you've been a fan of this show for any amount of years, you know I'm about to give you the four things I will vote for you. I don't care what political party you're from. I do not care. If you vow to do these four things, all four of them, if you vow to do all four of them, then you get my vote. Number one, all veterans can walk into any medical facility in this country and get treatment. Anyone. And you can do that by basically these businesses, the medical facilities are licensed as a medical facility. It would be part of their license. So then you don't have to have veterans traveling 4 hours to the nearest VA hospital. That they can go to the hospital in their town and get medical care right there. Doesn't matter. A specialist, they can get the medical, full dental too. That if you served in the U.S. military, that you will be able to get your medical care taken care of at any medical facility in the country. They have to see you. They cannot deny you service. They have to let you in. Now, obviously, you're not going to go for, say, a checkup on ear, nose, and throat over at a plastic surgeon. I mean, obviously, there's some caveats there, but you should not make veterans have to jump through extra hoops they shouldn't have to. Needless to say, get them into the local hospital and basically have a set rate charge. Let them get their medical care taken care of. Number one. Number two, free schooling at a public university. That's right. Free college. And we've had some discussions in the past about what would that be, 4 years, or what if they were going to go for a doctorate? You know, I think you start off with the 4 years and let these people get, you know, bachelor's degrees and you know, try to get back into life. But it's the least we could do. So the University of Minnesota, you're a public institution, veterans get in there. If they got they get the grade point average, they get in there and they get a free college education. And by the way, the GI Bill, all that money, they can keep that money. They can use that for rent. They can use that for a car to get around. They can use it for their school books. I don't care. They've earned it. They have earned it. Three, job placement. Whether a veteran wants to go to college and go to get a job after that, or if a veteran wants to just go right into the workforce, the U.S. government supplies, or the state government, either way, they supply job placement for veterans. Get them that job. They want to work a factory line? Fine, we got tons of factory jobs for you. You want to work as an architect? Hey, here's some architectural firms that are looking. We get the veterans the jobs. And finally, no more hoops and long-winded form drop-offs. If a veteran has earned benefits from the government from their time in service, do not give them any grief. Get them their benefits without a hitch. That entire system needs to be cleaned out a lot better than it is right now. And so if you've got disability, well, then by God, you should be able to get your disability check and all the benefits that go along with that disability without having to jump through 15 hoops, fill out 14 forms, and go talk to 20 different people. That should be something that, okay, no problem. Here's the one form. Off you go. If it's a family member and their veteran gave their life, they died in the line of duty, then the same thing applies to their family. Do not make these people jump through hoops. They've already given. They've already made the donation. They paid in blood with their beloved family member. Make sure that they get the benefits that veteran has earned for them. Those four things. I've said the same thing. I've not changed. It's the same four things. And I've had, of course, I mean, you can always tell the difference between a politician who says, oh, well, yeah, those things sound great. That would be like this. We'd have to look into that. You know, they're not going to look into it. You see, Governor Walz, he and I actually talked about it off air, about how we could get that done. He's one of the strongest veteran advocates I've seen in any level of government. He is fantastic. I will stand by Governor Walz. He is one of my favorites. I am truly, we're truly blessed. And I want to make sure I mention this today. This veteran today, Governor Walz, a 24-year veteran of the National Guard, announced the five suburban metro area counties have received federal designation for ending veteran homelessness. The designation given to the Suburban Metro Area Continuum of Care, SMAC, includes Anoka, Carver, Dakota Scott, and Washington counties. The U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs determined that the five counties serving by SMAC have effectively ended homelessness among veterans, becoming the sixth of 10 jurisdictions in the state of Minnesota to do so. The West, Central, Southwest, Northwest, and Northeast continuums of care previously declared an end to veteran homelessness in 2017 and 2018. The River Valley's Southeast Continuum of Care declared the milestone in 2019. The remaining four continuums of care around the state continue to work towards the same goal. Becoming the fourth state in the country to end veteran homelessness has been a priority in our administration since day one. Today's announcement on a day we honor all veterans is a major accomplishment towards that goal, said Governor Walz. Minnesota veterans have served and sacrificed to protect the freedoms we all enjoy. Once they complete their service, we should ensure they have a safe place to call home. Yep. You wonder why I love this guy. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan chimed in as well. We are grateful to the service, sacrifice, and bravery of our warriors. This Veterans Day, as we honor all those who have served, we commit to providing our veterans the best care and services available when they return home. Amen, Lieutenant LT. I'll call her LT. LT. The progress demonstrated through the announcement is the direct result of joint efforts across the state. SMAC is comprised of boarded coalition of stakeholders, including the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota Housing and Minnesota Interagency Council on Homelessness, Minnesota Assistance Council on Veterans, Minnesota the County Veterans Service Officers, and the emergency shelters, and a number of private and public nonprofit organizations as well. Good for you guys. Nicely done. We have a lot of veterans still on the streets. We need to keep working on that. Thank you. If you're a veteran, thank you. I appreciate your service. It changed me greatly. And I was able to see, especially when the East German wall came down and I was there helping out at the Hof border, people come across, stream across the border in Germany and just say, we want to be able to choose our leaders. We want to be able to live free. Rings true today as it did back then. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And by the way, I want everyone out there, you know, make sure you post. You know, veterans, regardless of what some people have said, and you can say it like that, regardless of what some people have said, you're not losers, you're not suckers. We appreciate your service. I will be remiss if I didn't mention this story. Twin Cities man identified himself to authorities as a supporter of Trump, accused of attacking an elderly couple with a golf club over the weekend after he saw them standing on a street corner with a homemade Joe Biden sign. 50-year-old Mark Anthony Ulsacker of Lino Lakes is charged with second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon, threats to violence, and assaulting a peace officer in connection to the Sunday incident, court documents filed in Ramsey County show. If convicted of all counts, he could face the maximum sentence of 15 years in prison. Oh, he needs to go to prison for a while. According to the criminal complaint, multiple witnesses called 911 around 3 p.m. and after seeing a man described as stocky and bald attacking an elderly couple with a golf club in White Bear Lake at the intersection of Highway 96 and Centerville Road. After the golf club broke during the attack, the man reportedly punched the elderly man in the head. The attacker then retreated to his pickup truck, which was parked nearby Walgreens. Witnesses told investigators the elderly woman gave chase. When she approached the truck drove towards her, hopping over a curve before speeding off on Centerville Road. The victims, who were in their late 70s, early 80s. Wow. Told responding officers that they were just minding their business on the street corner with their homemade Joe Biden sign. When the attack unfolded, the complaint says, first the man pulled up in his red truck and shouted, blank you, at them, which they ignored. A moment later, the man was stomping towards them with a golf club. Witnesses jotted down the man's license plate number, and police found it was registered to Ulsacker. Officers went to his home and tried to arrest him, but he initially resisted. How'd that go for you? He swung a punch at the arresting officer, who blocked the blow and pushed Ulsacker away. The complaint states the officer then pulled out his taser and eventually got Ulsacker to comply. Investigators noted that the officer suffered an injury to his right thumb. In an interview with the police, Ulsacker described himself as a Trump supporter. Oh, God, so much for the tolerant left. How come you're not tolerating us clocking you with golf clubs and punching elderly people in the face? So much for the tolerant left. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Republicans. Okay. Ulsacker described himself as a Trump supporter. He said he got upset when he saw the couple's Joe Biden sign. The complaint says, you think? During the interview, Ulsacker admitted to flipping off the couple, kicking over their sign, swinging his golf club at them. The golf club broke when it hit the woman's chair. Ulsacker said he then pushed the seated woman over. That's when the man came over to him, so he punched him in the head. This is kind of an open and shut case at this point. Wow. Ulsacker said that while he did drive his truck over the curb to scare the woman, he had no intention of running her over. Well, see? He was just gunning his car at her, jumping over the curb at her. How does she think that he's trying to run her over? As for the assault of the arresting officer, Ulsacker admitted he investigators, he swung a little, the complaint says. The weekend attack happened roughly 24 hours after Joe Biden was declared the winner of the 2020 presidential race. Hey, Mr. Ulsacker, you want to hear something funny? You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose that pickup truck. You're going to lose everything. You are going to lose everything because you threw a temper tantrum because don't buy you what? And you beat up an elderly couple. Christian values of the right, huh? Christian. And you want to know the truth? Republicans won't condemn this guy. The Republicans won't. And you know why? Because he's their base. He is their base. They know that if they come on out with harsh words of condemnation, that will lose them votes. Dear Lord. Wow, you're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your truck. That's actually not too funny. You know, you did assault an elderly couple, but you're going to lose everything and go to jail. So will you ever learn your lesson? No, probably not. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got to get into the coronavirus update for the day. It's the Matt McNeil Show for today on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Either way, thank you very much for the Veterans Day wishes. And Richard, who's a listener down in Chicago. Richard's a great listener here. He's a veteran. Thank you, sir. Happy Veterans Day to you, my friend. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's get Gary Bear on in here. Gary in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Well, first I want to say thank you for serving our country, and happy Veterans Day to you and all the others.
Thank you very much.
It might be a story. My dad used to tell me the first time he voted, he was in a foxhole up at the front lines, and he voted for Roosevelt 44 the first time. Anyways, this guy brings a ballot to him. He says, I'm going to get killed so you can vote. So that's how sacred the vote is, too. So
yeah, it is.
One other thing, the demonization of these new non-European immigrants and asking Obama for his birth certificate, all that, all that stuff bothers me. I worked with a lot of new immigrants from over the world at the airport for 4 years. I was a janitor out there. They're the nicest and hardest working people I ever worked with. I work mostly with the Latin immigrants. Thank you, Matt.
Gary, if the world had the heart your size, my God, we'd have a fantastic world. Thank you, Gary. I appreciate the phone call, 952-946-6205. And indeed, that is the case. Veterans voting, that's a great right. That's a great right. I got to read this tweet. I came across this. This is David Brower. Was in a conversation with a former journalist here. He was in a conversation with someone. Someone made this tweet last night here, and I can't verify this, but I mean, if this is even close to being true, holy God. My wife just finished a 16-hour shift at the VA, where her unit is now the new second COVID unit. She heard last night there were 60 people piled up at Southdale ER with nowhere to go. 60. Is this true? Did we have 60 people with coronavirus at the Fairview Southdale in their ER room last night and no beds and no place? Because this is what's going to kill people. This is what we saw in Italy and in Spain. When you run out of hospital beds, when you run out of ICU beds, and you basically just have to have people sit in the freaking hallway and suffer. It is, if that is true, there were 60 people. I mean, that's one of the most terrifying things I've ever heard in my entire life. And what the hell is Donald Trump doing right now about this? Nothing. Apparently, the reports are that he hasn't shown up to be a president of the United States for over 2 weeks. He hasn't even tried to be the president of the United States. He clearly is not doing a damn thing to try to stop this at this point. My God. 60 at Fairview Southdale alone. And those are people more than likely with health care. Dear Lord, are we in trouble? Single day record, 56 COVID-19 deaths reported by state authorities on Wednesday in Minnesota, where new early bar closing times and caps on receptions, parties, and social gatherings will seek to slow the spread of the infectious disease. Minnesota in total has reported 2,754 deaths due to COVID-19, an infectious disease caused by coronavirus. Accelerated spread from the disease is reflected by the increase in positivity rate in diagnostic testing from 5% 1 month ago to more than 12% now. More than 194,000 infections have been verified in Minnesota throughout the testing. Minnesota's previous one-day high in deaths was 36. Governor Walz said daily counts of 15 more could become the norm unless the state slows down the viral transmission. If we don't make these changes and we don't change our behavior, we'll have 10,000 cases per day and we'll have 1,500 people in the hospital, and we will be reporting, God forbid, 50 or more deaths a day, Walz said. Walz ordered a 10 p.m. closing time for bars and restaurants that will take effect on Friday and limit the gatherings to no more than 10 people. The underlying concern is a slow viral growth to keep the pressure off Minnesota hospitals, which on Wednesday reported a record 1,299 patients with COVID admitted to inpatient beds. That includes 282 patients in intensive care due to breathing problems or other complications from the infection. COVID-19 patients now represent more than 25% of the more than 1,100 patients admitted to the state's 1,457 immediately available ICU beds. A quarter of all ICU beds right now are coronavirus. That rate has surged from 15% a week ago. The state reports another 408 ICU beds could be readied within 72 hours if needed. I'm going to tell you, get those ready. Get them ready. Minnesotans need to continue to wear masks. We have to step back and remind people that the Republican Party, their entire platform is saying, we are here to make sure people can make, irresponsible people can make as many people sick or kill as many people as possible. That is their policy. No masks, no crowd limits, no nothing. Everything's open. And sure, we'd like it if you'd wear a mask, but if you don't wanna, we're not gonna make the. Sure, we probably shouldn't have large group gatherings, but if you want to get together with buddies and watch football, it's football! America! We're not gonna stop ya! Just, you know, I don't want anyone dead. I don't want people sick. And we are going to be suffering from the consequences of this coronavirus outbreak for decades to come. But I'm getting to the point where, I mean, if these people they're out there that are on the pro-sickness side of things, just go jump into a river. And so, if you kill yourself, you're at least not taking 15 other people with you, for God's sakes. I'm not there. I'm not saying do it, but I'm like, what's it going to take for you people to take this seriously? What's it going to take for you to realize, holy God, is 60 people are in the emergency room at Fairview Southdale? Hospital beds are full up across the state. We have 56 people dead, a new record in the state in one day. If one person died because of something the Republican Party could link to Democrats, it would be the number one freaking story in this country. How we have to stop it. That one person died. One person. 50 people die in the state, and the Republicans are, oh, well, you know, gee willikers, you know, just because 56 people die doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to go out and, you know, drink shots with your buddies at a bar. Come on. I don't know what else you can do. I don't know what else you can do at this point. Just it's to watch the intentional ignorance and stupidity is downright frustrating. I don't know what else you can do. It's unfortunately a lot of these people are going to have people die, and of course they'll blame Democrats for it. But you know, the problem that we have right now is that Republicans in their districts have basically told people, don't follow the rules, don't wear your mask, don't get around this. And they can say, well, I've never said don't do that. What I've said is that it should be an option and that people should have the choice. No, then you're basically telling them don't wear a mask. Then you're basically telling them don't limit crowd size. If you are not saying, your only words are this, wear a mask, don't get in a large social gathering. So those are your only two things you can be saying. Anything else you're saying, especially if there's caveats, well, I mean, I would hope that people, but I don't think we should have a mask mandate, then you're pro-illness. I don't know what else you can say about it. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Jeff Stein, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hey, thanks very much to everyone who's become a member of AM 950. We do appreciate that. If you'd like to become one as well, head over to am950radio.com. Go click on the members page, and you can make a one-time donation or regular recurring donation, and we do appreciate it. You're helping keep progressive radio on the air in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Once again, am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. Noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, as well as also totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Reports, his weekly show down in Iowa. The Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL, and he's kind enough to join us today. And Jeff, I just want to make sure, I took a shot at Jeff this weekend after they declared Biden was the winner, and the shot I took at him was he almost immediately put out a meme mocking Nancy Pelosi. Now, I'll rip on Nancy Pelosi. As a matter of fact, I'm planning on doing so here in just a little bit. But I'll do that in a heartbeat. My joke against you is more the timing of it. It seemed like in the same sense as the minute that Fox News called the race for Biden, all of a sudden it was, let's talk about how the Democrats failed in the House and the Senate and kind of try to avoid that story. I was more criticizing that. It didn't come across that way. I apologize.
No, you were an epic fail in how it came across. But here was... because I hadn't been watching Fox. I had no idea what they had been doing. Michael Beschloss, the presidential historian, who is no fan of this president if you follow him on the Twitter machine at all, he posted, and it had nothing to do with politics, he posted a screen grab from The Wizard of Oz, which had come out on that date in 1939, and it was of the Wicked Witch melting. And that's all he posted. He posted about the wizard of Oz and the photo of the Wicked Witch melting. And I simply said it was Nancy Pelosi's first on-screen credit. That's all I said. And you responded about tying it to Fox News. And I'm like, what? I'm just making a snarky comment.
Yes,
if I saw
Jeff.
No.
You get your apology for the week. Yeah. No. Roll around and relish it.
What did I also say in response? I said, if you show me a funny meme of a turtle, I'll make a Mitch McConnell joke in a heartbeat.
All right. Well, keep an eye on your email. I'll take care of that a little bit later on today. All right.
Would you please? That'd be great.
Okay. First of all, let's talk the main thing. Biden wins. Biden's going to be he's the president-elect of the United States. Georgia is going to go his way. I mean, you and I have talked about this, and I think you and I talked about this back with the Frank and Coleman recount, is that, you know, recounts, if you're within a few hundred votes, maybe, but if you're 10,000, 12,000 votes, a recount's not going to, you're not going to all of a sudden find 12,000 votes, or they're not going to be that many clerical errors. Arizona and Georgia both are going to be in Biden's camp. This is over.
When I look at recounts, I am looking for human error. I mean, we've got a race in Iowa in an open seat, and it is one of the closest in the country. There were 393,000 votes cast, and I think the distinction now is 45 votes. And it's gone back and forth since Election Day because one county said, ah, geez, we entered this in the wrong column. and that turned out to be a 400-vote swing. Then another precinct in another county, it's like, wait a minute, how come it didn't take? We didn't hit send. And so it's literally gone back and forth through not nefarious situations, no ballots in the middle of the night or whatever other weird stuff people are claiming. It was just how people count. And it only matters because it's so doggone close. This stuff happens all the time where there's human error, some kind of clerical error, and 20, 30, yes, even 100 votes gets adjusted out in the canvassing process. You don't get 10 and 20,000 votes. No. You don't get 100,000 votes. Now, the one thing I will say, but it is now worn thin a week later, when people have said to the Republicans, where's your evidence? And the Republicans have said, well, we weren't allowed in to see, so therefore we don't have evidence. That's a fair point, because in other words, you can't have evidence if your allegation, Matt, if your allegation is we weren't allowed in. Okay, that's fine. But where is the widespread 30-statewide computer glitch that we were assured would happen?
Well, and by the way, just really quick about that legal argument that blew up in their face. They went to the judge. Because reminder, you get into court, all of a sudden it's got to be about facts. You can't do hearsay. You can't hear they told me this.
Sure, sure.
And the judge says, well, were there any Republican – what was the word they used? Was there any Republican watchers, you know, watching the ballot counting? And they said there was – the answer was more than zero Republicans were in the room. It was like that was their terminology. And so the judge looks at him and is like, well, then what's your problem? And you had observers. They're 0-for-10 on their legal cases because their legal cases are all hearsay and there's no there there. I mean, every scandal they've come up with is garbage. And the New York Times today, you can't dismiss. The New York Times called every state in the country and talked to their election chief. And basically not a single one of them, Republican and Democrat, came back with any kind of mass voter problem. This is over. Joe Biden's the winner.
The foundational point is a valid legal one in that you can't prove a negative. And if the allegation was, and by the way, Pennsylvania is a mess. I'm not saying it's going to change the election. I'll get to Pennsylvania in a second. But when the allegation is, where's your evidence? It's like, I don't get a chance to even get any. All right. That has merit in that limited way. Now, let's take on the New York Times.
But no, actually, if I can stop you on that. Because every time they have said, where's your evidence, and they've had to produce their evidence in court, they have spectacularly failed at delivering it. And
That's not what I'm talking about. No, what I'm talking about is immediately in the aftermath, there was all of this talk, where is your evidence? When the president spoke on Thursday, has not spoken publicly since to my recollection. We have mountains of evidence. People say, well, where's the evidence? When your foundational point is we did not have access to inspect, that is a threshold foundational point that a Pennsylvania court did go along with. However, you then have to follow it up when you do get access. The phrase more than zero is about the most ludicrous phrase I've ever heard of. But what they're trying to do is to not commit perjury in it. They don't know the exact number. Well, it was more than zero. Okay, you're great. One human being at least. All right. New York Times, what elections official is going to say, you caught me. We have widespread fraud in the state because their job requires them running clean elections. And that's where in Georgia, which will be the center of the universe for the next 60 days, Georgia is really in between a rock and a hard place. I had someone from Georgia on my program today who was very much in the tank on the right side of the spectrum, and I had to gently point out, you have a Republican governor, you have a Republican Secretary of State, your Secretary of State has said, I ran a clean election. So it's a little hard to play the partisan game, right? It's a little hard to say it's all these bad blue state people who are beating up on scary orange man. I'll just keep the color theme going. And that's the problem that the Trump folks have at this point, is that you can't have these Republican elections officials who are saying, look, we've run a good race, and then it just didn't happen to work out. You know, Pennsylvania, here's the only problem with Pennsylvania. This is what I learned long ago as a lawyer. Don't make a judge angry. And they made Sam Alito angry. Now, I don't think it's going to lead to anything like the speculation of, well, the Pennsylvania legislature will come up with all the electors. No, they're not going to disenfranchise the state of Pennsylvania. But it is going, it is something that's that they're going to be watching, because the Supreme Court said segregate the ballots. The Secretary of State didn't, got called on it with a rather stern, you said you're going to do this, don't mess with me, I wear a big robe. That is a problem, but outcome-wise, it's not going to make any difference,
well,
is it?
Okay, so let's talk Pennsylvania, because, I mean, one of the things which is really frustrating, Jeff, is that there's no there. There's no there. There's no case. Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, there is no there. These cases don't exist. When you say, well, they didn't, they only could have had one person who was watching the vote counting. No, they actually had a full contingent of lawyers in there watching the vote counting. Their complaint was they were 12 feet away. The judge made an accommodation to move them 6 feet away.
They've made a lot of different claims over the course of time.
And
you're right.
Every one of them, they're 0-10. The courts have basically thrown them out every time. The votes that turned Biden, Pennsylvania blue for Biden, were votes that were absentee ballots prior to Election Day or on Election Day. That was because the Republican legislature in Pennsylvania refused to allow those ballots to be counted early. They wanted them to be counted after Election Day. So those are there. That's what put them over the top. And so this entire notion that there is a question here, there is no question here. Well, Joe Biden is the winner of the election. I mean, would you, yes or no, do you think that Joe Biden is the winner of the election?
I have never claimed, I think he's going to be the next president. I have never referred to anyone as the winner until the Electoral College. I just haven't done it, unless you're talking a landslide. I just haven't done it because, you know, that's my weird little constitutional thing. Here's the thing about Pennsylvania. Trump is not going to win Pennsylvania, but he just won Matt McNeil. Because he has gotten in your head.
Well, no, it's not, because we're talking about the foundations of democracy here. And is it, you know, in my head, nothing. This is about whether, I mean, there is no such thing as, you know, evil dictator light. You're not going to be able to throw out an election where 5 million more people voted for the opponent and throw it out and throw out the results of multiple states and install Trump and ever be able to walk that back again. You cannot have an election in 2022 and tell me, oh, it's going, this time we'll take the results. No. This entire election comes down to whether or not we want to stay a democracy. And when, if there was any proof of massive thousands of votes mysteriously appearing, sure, I'd be the first one to say, well, they have to clarify this. But there is nothing there. And so the entire argument, this entire narrative, sure, Trump's going to be in my head. Yeah, because for God's sakes, I love the United States of America, and I don't want to see democracy crumble in front of me because some narcissistic, petulant man-child does not want to leave the job because he owes too much money to foreign nations.
But the point is, it's not, I mean, you've set forth the case that it's not going to work, right? That there's nothing there.
Coups don't generally happen because they're based on tremendous amounts of evidence.
There's no coup that's going to happen. There's no coup that has happened. All right. Here's how you know this. And all I'm doing is saying part of his stock in trade is to mess with people. And so he's pushing this because he doesn't want to admit. See, this is how it's going to play out. He's going to not concede ever.
Well, he's not trying to play anyone else, though. Donald Trump is only in it for himself. He doesn't care. He wants the camera on himself.
I'm being very practical when I say so what, okay? Because he's not any threat right now to overturn any election results. He's not making any strides in court. Will there come a point where his people, he won't do it, where his people will say to his staff members, lawyers, hangers-on, back off? He might. He might say via Twitter, for the sake of the nation, I am not going to pursue any further claims, but I won the election. I could see him doing that. I could see him not conceding, but acknowledging that the Electoral College on December, oh God, I forgot the date, maybe 16th, 14th, has voted a certain way. He'll do that, but you're not going to get the kind of day after news conference you got 4 years ago. You're not going to get the meeting at the White House. You're not going to, you know, it's just not going to happen.
They sure seem intent on trying to overturn this.
Well, sure they are. Sure they are. But here's the thing that really has stuck in the craw of Republican voters. And now they're starting to understand it. This is what I heard a lot of, what I saw a lot of on the socials. All these Republican voters saying, where are all the elected officials? Where are all the people? And I commented on it. Trump drugged some of these people across the finish line, and they were not there the day after, were they? Other than Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz, and if you can find me another one, I can't think of them right off the, I mean, McConnell sort of the other day, but not really. They're not there. I asked Joni Ernst directly. I mean, I think her reelection was helped by Donald Trump doing very well in Iowa. He came to Iowa or an adjacent city three times in the last month before the election, got her over the finish line. She was a former elections commissioner in a county. And I said, you're making no public statements about the race. Shouldn't you say something? You know, what do you say? And she said, well, you know, as an elections official, we're sure pulling for the president. We're cheering for him. But, you know, every vote has to be counted. And I said, well, aren't you going to go to one of these places? By the way, this is an on-air conversation. It's not like I have a buddy on the side here. Mm-hmm. This is an on-air conversation. All right. And I said, is it not appropriate for office holders? Well, I don't think it's appropriate for me to try to tell them how to run the election. You heard that, Matt, over and over, did you not? And that tells me they don't think there is any there. And they do not want to waste their own political capital on a fool's errand.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to put it on the opposite foot. It's Veterans Day today. Trump called veterans losers and suckers. How many Republicans have made a public comment condemning the easily condemnable? None. I don't know of one damn Republican who came on out and said, wow, don't you dare disrespect the troops like that. So the idea that at some point these people are going to grow a spine and say, well, I'm actually going to prevent him from undermining and destroying democracy. Forgive me if I don't have the greatest amount of faith in the Republican Party right now. And the reality is that
I don't have faith in any politician who's standing for election doing anything other than what is in their personal interest. OK, and I'm not going to address the suckers and you know, that comment, that whole thing. Here's what I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at Republican office holders who are not supporting the president of their own party who helped them that very election. And now you're starting to see more and more Republican voters who are saying, wait a second, no one's standing with him. First, I thought, my God, I'm never going to vote for them again. I'll remember this. But now they're understanding why. And so he is going to be the cheese that stands alone. By the way, again, I follow Beschloss on the Twitter machine because it's entertaining and he has some wonderful photos. And he went through a whole string, I think it was Saturday, of scenes from the movie Citizen Kane, right down to Kane and his wife all alone at their home in Florida. And I thought, oh, dude, that's wickedly good. And something I was going to start with today, and I didn't because I was so enthralled by your imitation of Republicans with the G. Willikers. And, you know, that's great material right there.
Well, there's an apology there, too. I think you enjoyed it. I'll tell you what. We got to take a break here. We got to get a break. And I'll let you come back and finish the thought. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I was going to actually rip on Nancy Pelosi because, boy, you can look at the Democratic leadership right now, how they picked up no Senate seats and lost House seats. That's something you can rip on. But Jeff Stein joining us. Now, Jeff, really quick, I wanted to let you – I didn't mean to cut you off, but we had to get that break in. What were you saying?
All I was going to say to start the segment was this is Veterans Day. And I am very grateful for your service and those of everyone else. Some of us didn't serve because some of you did. And I am always grateful for that. And you know I love you, even though you're half crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's not double-sided at all. All right. I got to ask you this. Pompeo, joking or not, he says we're getting ready for a second term. You know that all of our foreign countries that talk through the Secretary of State are a little concerned about that comment. And then this purge that is going on right now over the Pentagon with pro-Trump people going, what do you think is going on there?
I don't like the idea of people bailing, and I don't like the idea of people being forced out for no good purpose. The Pompeo thing, I mean, he's got a tin ear, but I understand what he was doing. He was saying, well, no, we're still going to be here. It's going to be great. I don't read anything into that other than a poor attempt at humor by some guy who hopes that we'll vote for him for president in 4 years. And I also don't think the nations, around the world are paying much attention, because at the same time Pompeo is saying that, you've got Joe Biden calling them saying we're back and getting tweets from nations saying glad to see America is back. So I don't view anything by that. But I'll tell you, the purging thing, what is the point? Yes, just like 4 years ago, we were told, the world was told, there's only one president at a time, so hold on, Trump. Okay, fine. There is only one president at a time. But it's only 2 months until the inauguration. Why would you upset things? Did you hate Esper that much?
Well, acting Undersecretary for Policy Jim Anderson, when he left, was applauded. He wants to know the names of everyone who applauded him as he left and fire them.
See, this is what's ridiculous. Yes. It's like, take your ball and go home. You know, at some point, I just don't see the need. I don't see the need for an enemies list on either side. I don't see the need for pushing people out at this point. You want to play the game with letting the Electoral College make the decision, and that way you have your graceful exit. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. I'm looking forward at it, and nothing that has been done is adversely impacting a possible transition to a new president.
Jeff Stein, once again, I'll post this spotlight this as well. Thanks, Jeff. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse.